Aloha, everybody, and welcome to Spirit Chat Radio. Today, we're going to be talking about the truth behind astral travel. The reason I even decided to do this subject is actually because I have been getting a lot of questions about astral travel, or people who do not realize that they're astral traveling, but they're having some experiences that make them very nervous and freaked out, which is super common when it comes to astral travel because people don't realize what's happening. A particular post that was done in my Higher Purpose Learning group, though, really kind of irked me on this subject, which prompted me to do this sooner than later. And that was a girl who posted that she'd been having these dreams of being pulled at, tugged at, or even pulled out of body by these black silhouette figures. And it completely freaked her out. She also jumped that they come in a window and climbed over top of her. And it just startled her like it would anybody, I'm sure. And so I explained this can be what, once she says a black silhouette, that's just a very classic thing that people, their mind translates when they're seeing different energies. And I will get into that in a minute, but it's very easy. Her signs and her things that she was saying that I knew exactly what was happening, not to mention I can usually see it psychically. But that being said, there's still keywords that people use all the time that's very easy, even if you're not me, to tell if somebody's astral traveling. So when I explained to her that she was astral traveling and they were not silhouettes pulling her around, but when you're afraid or you don't understand what's happening, your mind can translate it in that direction, she was very grateful. But then she went and read about astral travel, I'm assuming, on the internet, because she came back quickly and said, you know, strange creatures, bullies not letting you back into your body, no wonder I was scared, etc. And I was just like, what are you reading? This is totally and completely inaccurate information. And she said, oh, thank gosh, I know that, you know, I'm glad that this is inaccurate information, but it got me wondering, what the heck kind of information is out there on astral travel? So I started looking around at some websites to see what people were saying about astral travel. And I was really shocked. I was literally shocked at some of the information that was out there, which people seem or give the impression that they are well-rounded in astral travel or astral projection, which are two very different things, which I also noticed a lot of people don't differentiate that who are posting these things on the websites. They are giving information like they know exactly what's happening, and they're giving inaccurate information. Not only are they giving inaccurate information, and I am going to vent for a minute, but from what I'm reading, what these people are telling other people, I'm starting to wonder if these people even astral travel or astral project at all themselves. Because, and the reason that I feel really strongly about this is because I have been astral traveling for my entire life. And there are things that I experienced when I was younger that, yes, made me a little bit nervous till I realized they were what it was. But I am a very lucid astral traveler. I am very conscious when I am out of body. And I experience it so much, so much. I mean, several times a week. To where I control my astral travel, I know where I'm going, I'm very able to control what I do in an astral travel state. And I think that this is very rare, especially from what I'm reading, that other people don't tend to have the control that I do. And the information that I'm giving you guys is information based on my own experiences that I've had my entire 40-some years of life. And it's things that I do repetitively over and over again. I absolutely know what I'm talking about from my experience. And like I mentioned, from knowing so much about astral travel, I know so much about it. And I've practiced it so much, not even on purpose, that when I read these articles, I am really convinced a lot of these people are interested in astral travel, but they don't do it often, or they don't have the control that I do and don't understand it enough and have not done it to the extent that I've done it or to the many times that I've done it that they're giving very inaccurate information. And I really want to clear this up just because it's something that I do so often. Now, that being said, we're going to get into astral travel a little bit and what signs and symptoms that people tend to get and what signs do you have that you can tell if you're astral traveling. I'm going to cover that. There are roughly 8 signs that will definitely let you know if you're astral traveling. The other thing that I want you guys to know is everybody astral travels. This is not something that the people writing the books just do or I just do. You astral travel at least probably 2 to 3 times a week while you're sleeping. It's something that you naturally do. It's something you do not have to learn how to do. You may not notice that you do it. Some people will notice that they do it when they start to awake during exit or entry of the body. So this is not meant to scare you. It's not meant to really do anything but inform you of what's happening when you do astral travel, because like I've said before, it doesn't really matter if you believe it or don't believe it. It's just happening, and that's just what's going down. If you're a spiritual, if you're here, if you're human in your physical body, you're going to be astral traveling it several times a week. It's just the way that our spiritual body and our physical body kind of operate and balance with each other. So what astral traveling is, for those of you who do not know, is there are times that your spiritual body actually leaves your physical body for a period of time. And why does that happen? It does it for a very good reason, which is to recharge and align itself on a spiritual vibrational level. The reason, the meaning behind that would be, so if you're in your physical body all the time, you can actually lower your spiritual vibration, your spiritual body vibration, by certain things or perspectives or choices that you make in life. You can potentially lower your own spiritual vibration. And in order to stay healthy, your spiritual body must get out of your physical body at some point in time and then line up with the spiritual realm and raise the vibration. It needs to be able to move around. Think of it like if you kept a puppy in a little kennel or a cage and you never, ever, ever let it out to exercise or run around. It's required for your spiritual body to stay healthy and stay connected. So yes, your spiritual body actually leaves your physical body for a certain period of time. Now, for those of you who are afraid that you will never find your body again, which is funny, but a very valid fear if you think about it, that's never going to happen. There is a cord, I'm sure you've heard about it. It's called it's a silver cord. It's basically your lifeline or your connection to your physical body. Once that cord breaks, doesn't happen while you're astral traveling, anybody. Do not let your mind go there. That's not what goes down. But when you pass, then the connection is broken. You move on and you release your physical body. But this is not something that happens during an astral travel state. There has to be something that happens to your physical body and that makes your physical body inoperable in order for that cord to be released. It's not that you just go out and get lost or your cord gets tangled around a tree or like whatever, and then you just can't get back. Like it has to actually be something that happens to your physical body to release the cord. So you will not get lost. It's happening anyways. So how do you know if it's happening? And why is it happening? Well, here, let's cover some of the symptoms, very common symptoms to let you know what astral travel feels like. And here's the thing. Astral travel doesn't feel like anything per se, except for a wonderful experience when you're on the other side, and I'm going to get into things that you're doing, et cetera, et cetera. What you're feeling when I'm talking about the signs that you've been astral traveling is your exit and your entry into body. That's what you're feeling. You're not essentially feeling the astral travel itself. You're feeling the exit or the entry. And when that happens and you awaken or become a little bit more conscious during an exit or an entry, you may very well experience some of these things. One of the most well-known things is sleep paralysis. And that can freak people out. I'm going to go through the list kind of like, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on each one. I'm just going to kind of go through the list. Bed shaking. Bed shaking is something that completely, like, they think that, oh my gosh, a spirit is shaking my bed. And it literally will feel like your bed shaking. But bed shaking is a sign. Feeling like somebody or something is on your chest or on top of you, or that you, you know, they're kind of like, you can't breathe. That type of feeling, like it's on pressure, or like some people say pressure in their head, but mostly it's on their chest, or they're feeling like that they can't breathe, like they're being strangled or something. That's a very common sign. Your body vibrating. Somebody had mentioned to me, like, sometimes my body feels like it's vibrating like a high pitch tuning fork. Yes, vibration is very common because your body, when you are in the spiritual realm, you're astral traveling, it vibrates at a very high tuning fork is a good analogy, but a very high level. And so if you get jolted back into your body or you're pulled back into your body too quickly, then you may still, I explain this like when your vibration is high, you basically usually wind it down a little bit before you get back into your body. Just pretend like you just ran on a treadmill, just really hard for like, 10 minutes or 15 minutes. You ran as hard as you possibly could and your heart rate's up and it's going and all of that. And then they say, just like, calm down now. Like if you don't have a cooling off period, you have to have a period where you kind of lower your heart rate and you just relax and you get back down to that, you know, the regular breathing state that you had before that you ran on the treadmill really hard. That's the same thing when you go out of body with your vibration. If you pop back in too soon, you may not have had that lowering of the vibration down to your physical body, so you'll feel the vibration. Dark silhouettes. This is super common. And basically, there is a time when you shift from the spiritual realm into the physical realm, and there is a dimension and an area in between there where there's a lot of energies, and they tend to be grays, black, type energy, shadowish looking energies. And these are not people, they're not monsters, they're not anything of the sort, but it's energy moving. And when you come from the spiritual realm to the physical body, your mind, when if you're lucid at all or you're startled, because that's what's happening when you exit and enter your body and you're feeling any of the bed shaking or someone's on your chest or the vibration or any of this that I've talked about so far. Usually something has startled you or caused you to try to awake in the physical realm when you are not back in your body yet. And so let's just say somebody slammed a door or something happened to physically try to wake you up and, you know, try to get your eyes to open and whatnot, and it startles you somehow. If you're out of body from your physical body and you're astral traveling at that point, it's going to take a minute for you to get back into your body, and you may go through all of these stages very quickly because you are abruptly awoken, if that's a word. You're abruptly waking up, and it may not be something you remember, but something will have jolted you to cause you to come back into your body before you were actually prepared to come back into your body. So when somebody, if somebody tries to wake you or loud noise or whatever happens, like I said, that's why you're getting this rough exit and entry, which you're going to be experiencing these things. So when you come through this energetic portion and get back into your body, when you are kind of lucid, everybody has watched so many scary movies and they're afraid of spirits and so many things are happening that anybody immediately assumes that a darker type silhouette or movement is something bad or negative. And so their brain will translate it into, oh my God, something just really scary happened. And there was like some weird energy that went over here, some weird black silhouette that moved over there. And that is your brain trying to translate coming back into your body and seeing these energies or this energy movement that can be around you at some point in time. Now, Just to be clear, are there some darker entities that are around you, like potentially when you're astral traveling? Yes, that can happen. But the chances of you actually seeing this is pretty much slim to none. You may think that you are and saying, oh, she's wrong, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. But the simple fact of you probably most likely wouldn't see the ones who were darker entities that may potentially be around your area anyways. And the reason for that is because when you're exiting and entering in an astral travel state, you are always have like an angel army with you. Like you have some, you have protection. You are always very protected when you are astral traveling. It doesn't have to be that you call them in. It doesn't have to be that you make some type of prayer or direction. It's just, it's your bodyguard, your crew that comes with you when you exit an entry. It's just something that is assigned to you, and it's something you didn't have to have anything to do with. It's there. So there will be a barrier between any negative thing that's going on during an astral travel state anyways. And most often, the chances of you seeing anything negative that would even maybe approach your realm is maybe 1 in 100. It's just not great because there's going to be that barrier of protection there for you. So some other things, again, sleep paralysis. That was one that we mentioned earlier where you feel like you can't move your body, you're awake, etc. Like you can't move your arms. Loud humming or buzzing noises. Again, when you shift from the physical or spiritual realm to the physical realm, if you're still vibrating really high when you get into your physical body, sometimes you hear a loud humming or a buzzing noise until your vibration adjusts itself to the physical realm. So you're going to hear potentially a loud humming or buzzing noise. You may or may not hear it. Sensation of being pulled to and or out of or into your body, like the sensation of being pulled, like by somebody or something, like somebody grabs your shirt, pulls you in, pulls you out, whatever. That's not anybody grabbing you. That's just the sensation that you get as you project out or project in. And so there are a lot of things that happen during your astral travel. We've kind of covered a lot of the signs of what's happening. These are super, super common. As far as the sleep paralysis goes, that's usually, again, when you're waking before you're completely back into body. I want to cover that a little bit more, I feel like. Because your spiritual body is what operates your physical body. It's what actually makes it move. And so that's why when people cross over and you go to a casket or, you know, funeral or whatever, they're not moving. They're not able to move because your spiritual body is what operates the physical body. So when your spiritual body is outside of the physical body for a minute before it gets back in to allow movement, that's when you're experiencing the sleep paralysis. And so the other thing that I wanted to talk about before I talk about what you potentially are doing when you're astral traveling is that I used an analogy the other day when I was talking to somebody. If you want to try to explain this to somebody, it's kind of like if you're flying an airplane and you have somebody who's sort of inexperienced when you wake up. If you guys are experiencing any of these things, what happens is when you awake during an entry or an exit, it's kind of like people try to take control right away. So it'd be like you naturally flying in an airplane and naturally the airplane would land. But if you all of a sudden awake during this time and then you try to take control of the airplane for fear of what's going on around you and you're sort of startled and you don't know really how to fly the airplane or land the airplane, you as a person, your mind tries to take over and you try to take control of the landing, of the entry. And this will cause a very rough landing for you guys. It will just cause it to be very bumpy road, very kind of crazy, feel weird. You may do some spinning. I mean, you may hit the ground and it's just going to cause you to have a very rough landing. It's the same as the taking off. If you awake during a takeoff, you're going to have this same experience if you try to take control. So what you want to do if you're having this happen often is a couple of things. You can ask to have a a smooth exit and a smooth entry. You can ask God, your angels, your spirit guide, whoever, that if you astral travel that night, please help me to have an easy entry and an easy or an easy exit and an easy entry. That is one of the best things that you can ever do. And you can also ask even to not be, please allow me to not wake during an exit or an entry. Just allow it to happen. Because, and if you do tend to awake, don't try to take control. Don't panic. Don't try to take control of what's happening. Just relax and allow yourself to naturally land back in. Or naturally exit out. Like, that's the problem that a lot of people have, is they become very startled, they panic, they start justifying and reaching for things in their mind and making sense of what's going on, and you have a very rough landing, and it feels weird, and it doesn't feel good, and whatnot. So that's something that you want to do, is you want to talk to your angels or your guides or whoever you want to, and ask maybe not to awake, or to allow yourself to have a good exit and entry. It works really well if you communicate with whoever is escorting you around you to help make that transition smoother. So what happens during a astral travel state? Lots of things. You go over into the spiritual realm. You can do, for me, I end up doing a lot of healing work. I meet with my counsel during that time. I get more knowledge or training in the spiritual realm. Like, I do a lot of work. In fact, sometimes I feel like I get more rest when I'm awake than when I'm asleep. And like I mentioned to you guys before, I remember, I'm very aware of when I'm astral traveling. So to me, it feels very much like being in a waking state. And I have to tell you a story of things that I've done often. And it's really interesting, because I had read something not very long ago that said, and if you dream you're flying, you're just flying, you're not astral traveling. And it was somebody who was talking about astral traveling. And I'm like, again, do these people do this at all? Like, for real? Like, really? Do you do this? Because I'm not really sure you're doing this. My grandma was ill, and she was in the hospital, and I astral traveled out of my body. I remember when I became very conscious of it, I was actually above her hospital room, who was on the mainland, and I went down into the hospital room right beside her bed. I knew who was in the room. I knew what they were doing with her. I could tell you everything that happened, because I also verified it with people, although I knew, because I basically didn't verify, like, were you doing this? But I called and said I was there. Oh, yeah, well, so-and-so was there. Yes, I know. I seen them. I knew what they were talking about. I could see it. It was just reality for me. When I was done visiting my grandma, I flew up out of the hospital. I went and I flew across the United States. And I know that for some people, this is probably like, are you kidding me? Or, wow, that'd be really cool. But it is just my reality. I mean, I flew across it. I flew to Hawaii. I seen the islands. I seen my island. I came down. I seen the part of my, where the city where my house is. I seen the roof of my house. I seen, came through the ceiling. I seen my body. I came in. I woke up. It's just what happens. So yes, when you're flying, you are astral traveling, especially if you feel like you are flying without like an airplane or something, like your body's flying. I can navigate myself very well when I'm flying. I usually tend to wake up after, or not wake up, but become very lucid after I'm out of body. So there's another fun story. And I do this often. Like, this is, happens, like I said, weekly. I mean, it's constant for me. I'm just telling you some of my funnest memories that I have. One time I was in the middle of my field in at a house that we own like 7 acres on. And the funny thing was, it was on the mainland. It was very, very cold, like 20 degrees out. And I thought, why am I not cold? Because I'm always cold. And I thought, this is very strange. And I looked around and I was floating about 3 feet off the ground. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm astral traveling. Okay, makes total sense. And so I thought, well, and here's the thing with me. I have a habit, because I'm such a lucid astral traveler, I have a habit of waking up while I'm astral traveling all the time. And I don't like to be that conscious to the end of my astral travel state, because what happens is I wake up very groggy. So for those of you who wonder why sometimes you wake up really, really groggy, it's, for me, it happens when I'm way too lucid at the end of my astral traveling that I'm doing. And so I was like, oh no, sun's coming up, need to get back to the house. I don't want to be groggy. I know that I need to get back in body quickly so that I can spend some time in my body for like an hour or so before I get up. And the way that you fly, navigate, move when you astral travel is all via thought. That's how you move. Like, you just decide to go towards the house and you will move towards the house. That's how things work in the spiritual realm. That's why you can also, in the spiritual realm, lots of people communicate telepathically. That's why when you're talking with spirits in the physical realm, they're putting blocks of thought into your mind, because that's how they do it in the spiritual realm mostly. They communicate with you telepathically. It's like you're having a conversation without your mouth moving. It just is how you communicate. Spirits love to communicate with you that way. And so that's why most people won't hear spirits audibly. And not to mention, there's a very strange tone that they get when their voice comes from the one dimension to another dimension. It has a really crispy tone to it, so it's hard on the audible ear. But spirits are used to communicating telepathically, and so I find it interesting that everybody just wants to hear them audibly, but that's what we do here on Earth, so it makes sense. Anyways, so I decided, I went back to the house, I went through the door, because I knew I didn't need to open it, and now, this is a funny thing, I know I've told this story before, but I crack myself up when I think about it. My two German Shepherds used to always see spirits in the garage, always. They would bark at the corner, they would bark at that, and I knew they could see me, and so I decided to kind of scare them for fun, which I think is weird. And I love my puppies, but I, you know, take advantage of what you're doing. And so I flew through the door and I went right up to one of my female German Shepherd, and I said her name, and she lifted up her head and looked at me, and she didn't do anything. She didn't bark. She didn't nothing. And then I was like, well, she knows who I am, so she's not going to bark at me. And that's just, she just looked at me like, what are you doing? And so it was so funny when I realized she knew me in spirit form, she knew me in physical form. I was the same me to her. And that's how it is with animals. You are the same you to your animals. And so I kind of laughed about that. Went in, found my body, went back in, and woke up right away. So these are some of my fun experiences about astral traveling, but I do it often. I mean, I've gone into the ocean to very deep levels for certain things that I was doing, specific things. It's interesting all the things that you can do while you're astral traveling. And most people are not going to be like me, but they will remember doing things such as seeing loved ones when they're astral traveling. When you have loved one visits, when you're on the other side and you're having conversations, you're astral traveling at that point. When you feel like you're in the spiritual realm somewhere in like a library or like this just beautiful place that you know and you recognize to your soul, but you've never, you don't recognize in the physical realm, you're astral traveling on the other side. You're seeing things, you're being adventurous. You may have done something that I've done where somebody's sick and you may be by their bedside, or you may be just visiting a relative in another place, or a friend or somebody who you care about. And it could be daytime, could be nighttime. I used to astral travel so much when I would nap when I was younger that I just stopped napping because it just felt exhausting. By the time that I got up, I was just like, you know what? This was not relaxing whatsoever. And because I would go around my house the whole time, it was the most craziest thing. If I would be napping and my husband would be there or my kids would be doing stuff, I would be always up and walking around my house and trying to talk to them. And then they wouldn't talk back. And then I'd realize I was over there on the couch still and I could see myself. I used to do that so much. Oh my gosh, it would be frustrating. So I thought, why am I even napping? There's no point. I'm still walking around trying to converse with everybody. So no nap time for me. I kind of cut that out. That would just, because it just drove me nuts. And so you will do a lot of travel to the spiritual realm. You will do a lot of visits with loved ones. You will meet with your councils. You will meet with your guides. You will do some adventure type stuff where you're seeing other dimensions, where you're seeing other parts of the world that is now. You will potentially visit people on this earth plane somewhere else. So there's lots of stuff that you do when you ask to travel, but that is a time that your body will feel free, your spiritual body. That is a time where you will recharge, where you will learn, where your vibration will raise. You need to be recharged like a battery needs to be recharged. You expend and you drain a lot of energy and you don't know how to monitor it during the day many times. And it's not something you're aware of or paying attention to. So your spiritual body has to have a safeguard built in. That's how we were made. That's what we were instilled with. God or whoever you want to decide made us. They made us with a plan to make sure that we spiritually recharge ourselves and that we stay spiritually aligned whether we choose to or not at least 3 times a week. It's just a safeguard and it's amazing and wonderful, but it can be very scary when you don't know what's happening. And so the other thing that I want to clarify right before I go is astral projection. That is a little bit different than astral travel. That is when usually people sit down in a meditative state. They try to be very conscious and lucid when they project themselves out of body, and they do so in a very forceful manner. That's not something that I do. I don't feel a need to do it because I do it way too much anyways. Like, I'm so lucid anyways that I guess I'm not really sure why people would want to astral project. And that's kind of interesting to me. I'm not really sure what they're trying to do. I think people like to feel like they're kind of harnessing their ability somehow and controlling it. And that's not helpful necessarily, I don't feel like, in the spiritual realm. You don't want to harness and control your spiritual body. That's a physical body thing. That's a mental thing. That's a left brain thing. When you're working with your spiritual body, your spiritual senses, your psychic senses, and that part of yourself, you don't control that. That's not the way things work. You relax, you allow because things naturally happen for you. Things naturally work the way that they're supposed to. There's no control. You don't need to control it. The need for control is not there. So I feel like the want for people to astral project is really harnessing something inside themselves where they feel like that they want to control something magical and wonderful. And it's funny because all those people are doing it anyways. They're just, again, reading all the stuff. They're just not aware of it. Even the people who claim to be experts at it are obviously and clearly not aware of what they're doing. They're clearly not very lucid astral travelers. And so I just wanted to clear that up for you guys. And if you are interested in astral projection, that's fine and wonderful. But I feel like you would get there faster if you practice more of being aware of when you're astral traveling weekly anyways. And that's just what allowing yourself when you awake, start remembering and journaling and trying to figure out, where were you? What were you doing there? Were you in another place? Because most likely the answer is going to be yes, you were in another place. And so then you're going to realize, oh, I traveled there. You're not traveling places in your mind. You're actually traveling there spiritually. You're actually there. Like, your body is there. Your mind remembers and translates, but your body is there. You are experiencing. That's why everything feels so real when you do this kind of thing. And everything feels like that was a real thing. It felt like my reality. It feels like this. Yeah, because it was real. And it's funny to me at this point, since I've been doing it so long, that everybody's like so surprised. And I'm like thinking, I have to remind myself that I don't think like everybody else, and have to remind myself that they don't really know it's real because they've been told it's not real. So now I'm just rambling. Anyways, hopefully that this was helpful with regards to the truth behind astral traveling. Everybody does it. You do it 2 to 3 times a week, whether you remember it, whether you think about it. You absolutely can find yourself feeling afraid if you don't have the knowledge of what's happening during your exit and entry. When you awake, when you are startled, when your body has something that happens that causes you to try to awake during it, when you're out of body, you're going to be experiencing many of these things that I talked about, the paralysis, bed shaking, the vibration, the weird silhouettes, etc., etc. When you try to take control at that point, it's going to allow you to have a rough entry. So next time, relax. Realize that's what you're doing. The more that knowledge that you gain, and the more that you realize that it is not harmful, it is not scary if there are negative entities out there, and this is kind of an advanced topic, but I have experienced negative entities, and I have had run-ins with them, very much so I have. But the chances of other people experiencing it in the way that I do, because my vibration is so high and because I do so much teaching, there's kind of a target on me for that sort of thing. The chances of other people experiencing it the way I do is really kind of slim, but you have a lot of protection. You need to understand that the protection is in place, that we weren't built this way to just go off and potentially be bullied or be tossed around by other entities. That's not the way this works. So that's like a physical mind thing that people would think up here on Earth. That's not the way the spiritual realm works. That's not the way our safeguards are put in place. It's very different than that. So try to just be aware if you exit or entry like this, and try to allow the control to be left to your natural ability to enter, because you've already been doing it your life, your entire life. You've been doing it. So try not to let your mind freak you out and take control. And then also talk to your guides, talk to your angels, talk to God, whoever, and ask to have a quick exit and entry. And once you start being less afraid of it, you're gonna realize that you're gonna have a lot more control of what you do when you're astral traveling. Like, you're gonna feel more lucid. The more that you just relax into the knowledge of what's happening, the more that you're gonna allow yourself to be like, oh, then I went here and I went there. And the more you're gonna start remembering, and the more you're gonna start being able to move somewhere by your thoughts. It's really exciting. So hopefully this was helpful. If you would like more information on anything, you can go to mykeystospiritworld.com. That's where you can find information on the Higher Purpose Learning Group and the Facebook group. And the other thing is, this is the last few days of my psychic ability class, and then it's going to be closed for enrollment till December. If you're listening to this when it's closed, you still can go to the www.psychicabilityclass.com, and you can get on the wait list for when I open it again. So we have some super cool things happening on Keys to Spirit World. We're getting ready to open some new things that I don't want to tell you about yet. But thank you for joining me, and have a wonderful day. Don't forget to stop by Keys to Spirit World. Don't forget to check into my class. We've had, the class thing, I do have to say, has been super wonderful in the way that I feel very blessed that people are loving this class. The system I have put together for this class is working really, really well, and it's super exciting to see the results. Everybody has been having huge results. So until next time, have a wonderful day. Aloha.